This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And welcome to another episode of the Toastmasters podcast. Ryan, what's going down today?
Well, today we're going to be speaking with Mary Sheen. In 2009, Mary Sheen competed in the World Championship of Public Speaking. And out of 25,000 contestants from 14 countries, she came in second place. Today, she's a professional speaker and trainer where she teaches workshops at corporations and organizations on how to become a better public speaker and communicator. She also teaches communications-related classes at Northeastern University in Boston. Mary's trained over 15,000 people in over 25 cities around the world and has coached hundreds of individuals. Mary recently published her book, Present Yourself in Public Speaking, Teach Your Inner Critic to Shut Up and the Real You to Speak Up. Within just 2 weeks of its launch on Amazon, the book became number one in three categories and reached Amazon bestseller status. So clearly this is a book that's resonating with a lot of people. And Mary, I will add, is someone that Beau and I know that we haven't seen in several years. We used to all belong to Renaissance Advanced Toastmasters together, so it is great to reconnect with Mary. Mary Sheen, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Mary.
Hi, how are you, Beau and Ryan? Long time no see.
Yes, and we're still not seeing you, but we're hearing you, which is second.
Long time no hear.
Yeah. So, Mary, of course, we want to talk about your book today, but before we do, since it has been so long, I think you left Renaissance Advanced Toastmasters to your eternal shame. I think it was shortly after the contest in 2009, was it not?
I believe so. Yeah. I took a little bit of a break after the Toastmasters International World Championship because it just was a lot of work and a lot of energy required. So I think that was one of the reasons. And I ended up joining another Toastmasters club here at Northeastern University. Actually, I helped charter the club. So it makes sense for me to attend this local club instead of the Renaissance club.
Sure, sure. Now, I think at the time when you were a member of our club, if memory serves me, you were working in some capacity as, was it a computer or software trainer or something like that?
Yeah, so I began as a computer programmer years and years ago. And for those of you, you guys may not know, if you read my book, you would know that I used to be a very self-conscious computer programmer. So I would have a very difficult time standing up and speaking in front of people, and not even just in formal presentations, even in work meetings or group meetings, I would have difficulty speaking up without feeling self-conscious. And if I had something to say, I wouldn't necessarily say it, even if I felt it was important, just because of that self-consciousness that existed. So yeah, I've hopefully come a long way since then, and I can probably safely say that I'm pretty comfortable in front of a group of people.
Great. Mary, do you teach classes, like as an adjunct professor?
Yes, I
do.
Not as a professor. I teach on a consultant basis.
Oh, okay.
So I teach workshops, and I teach both students, so undergrad, grad students, as well as faculty and staff.
Oh, awesome. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Mary, there are tons of books out there available on the topic of public speaking and communication. Why did you decide to add to the pile of literature? What does your book have to say that hasn't been said before?
That's a very good question. When I first started teaching public speaking, I was teaching a lot of the same things that were out there in the education of public speaking. But as time moved on, I noticed that the people that were coming to my classes weren't necessarily held back by the things that were being taught, which were the mechanics of public speaking. So, you know, such as how you stand, how you use your voice, so content as well as delivery. So when I say content, I mean, what do you include in your speeches? How do you structure your speeches? How do you involve a message in your speech? How do you use storytelling to make it engaging? I was teaching all of those things, and delivery, of course, which is vocal variety, how to walk with purpose, don't pace around with no purpose, all those kinds of things that a lot of public speaking classes out there teach. But what I started noticing was that wasn't necessarily advancing my students to a level that made them comfortable. So I started a little bit digging a little bit further, and I would ask people, well, what's holding you back? And the more I dug, the more I discovered that the mechanics, as important as it is, isn't the whole picture. And I looked back at my own journey to dissect what I did and what my process was in becoming a better speaker. And what I ultimately came up with was a series of processes that I used, which I now teach to others and have been teaching to others, which has made a big difference to them, which is addressing public speaking from the inside out. So while mechanics is important, it's not the whole picture. The whole picture would include the speaker, him or herself, and the mindset from which they're coming from. So in other words, looking at what are you actually thinking as you're up there, and are those thoughts that you're thinking helping you and empowering you so that you can serve the audience to the best of your ability? So that's the difference, I think, between what's out there in the public speaking world of books and what my book ultimately teaches. And so I call this the inside out approach, which is the mindset component of public speaking.
Very good. Yeah, I've noticed the biggest problem that I have at times is when I'm up there in front of an audience and all I'm thinking about is my delivery and my performance. And I'm not thinking about getting the message to them or just having a conversation. I'm thinking about how are they thinking about me, which is horrible. That's like the worst thing you could do. And it just takes you to a downward spiral.
Right. And that's thank you for being honest with sharing that with us. And that's a similar experience I had when I started digging and asking my students. I would ask them, for example, so what's the biggest thing that holds you back while you're up there that keeps you from being fully confident? And I would hear things like, well, if I don't feel fully prepared, or I'm worried, I'm concerned that I'm going to look stupid in front of my superiors, things like this. But then when I started digging and got to the bottom of it, there was a common denominator, which is, I don't want to look stupid. I don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I'm qualified enough. So those were the things I started to address in some of these processes that I developed, which basically is a summary of what I did, because I went through exactly the same thing. And that's what I call the inner critic. So in the book, if you read the book, it tells you that we all have a little voice. And the little voice is, of course, the annoying voice of the inner critic. And it helps, it focuses on you. It makes you focus on you as the speaker. And as you were saying, Bo, it's not a good thing. It's a downward spiral. And it does not help you in connecting with the audience. And here's the way I explain it in my classes. So you all know of the concept of a physical barrier, right, between you and the audience. Mm-hmm. If there's a lectern in front of the room, what do most people do? They stand behind the lectern, possibly because they have notes or because they feel more comfortable. They feel like there's a bit of a safety zone between them and the audience. And what I would coach people to do is don't stand behind the lectern. If you have notes, have note cards, maybe place them on the floor in big font, because the lectern is a physical barrier between you and the audience. You can't deny that. It's a physical barrier, right? So there's something that's between you and the audience that prevents you from connecting physically. Now, if we were to extrapolate that concept and now think of mental and emotional barriers, that's what the inner critic and the little voices in your head is doing between you and the audience. It's putting a mental and emotional barrier between you and the audience. So if I was to zoom in to your head while you were speaking in front of an audience, and it might sound something like this: oh my God, I don't feel prepared enough. I hope that what I'm saying makes sense. I hope I don't look stupid. Oh my goodness, so-and-so is in the room. They know more about this topic than I do. What's going to happen? So that is what I'm talking about. The little voices that you focus on. With all that noise in your head, how on earth are you supposed to focus on connecting with the audience? Mm. And that's what the book addresses.
By addresses, I take it you have strategies to prevent that or to help people overcome that.
No, I leave you with that, and that's pretty much it.
I was going to say, that'd be a horrible book. Horrible book.
No, yeah. So the inside out approach, the way I've structured the book is divided into three parts. So the first part, I go into detail as in what's missing in the public speaking education, which we spoke briefly about, which is no one really talks about the inner game of public speaking. We talk about the things we can do and things we can say, but nothing about how to properly set your mindset. So that's the part one. Part two of the book is, okay, now we know about this. Let's dive into it. Why do we have an inner critic? Why does everybody as a human being have this inner critic? And so that dives into some of the psychology behind being a human being and the fears that we have. So for example, have you heard of Maslow's hierarchy of human needs?
Sure.
So if you haven't heard of it, think of a triangle, and there is about five layers within the triangle. So right at the bottom of the triangle represents our basic human needs. So food, water, rest, we all need those. It's as a human being, we need that. You know, I didn't make this up. This is what we need as human beings. When you go up a level, we have safety and security. We need that as basic needs. Go up one more level. Now we start to address the psychological needs of a human being, which is love and belonging. So when you think about love and belonging, what does that mean? Well, it means that we need connections in our lives. We need good friends. We need relationships. So that is a basic need for social acceptance. That is a human need. So now think of you standing in front of a group of people. My question to you is, when you're standing in front of a group of people, does it feel like you're part of that group, you're part of this tribe, or does it most likely feel like you're outside of this group and they are looking at you? So you feel like an outsider in some ways. So immediately, unconsciously, as a human being, that basic need of social acceptance is now a perceived threat. Oh my goodness, I hope they like me. I hope they like what I'm going to say. I hope they don't reject me, right? So on one side, you have social acceptance. That's a basic need. So what's the opposite of that? Social rejection. So that is present while you are speaking in front of a room, even though it's subconscious. You're not literally thinking, I hope they like me, I hope they like me, or maybe you are. But definitely that is there in the background. And so you're focused on that. And that's why those little voices come up. I hope I don't look stupid. I hope I'm doing well. It's part of that need for social acceptance and the avoidance of social rejection. So why am I telling you all this? Well, the book goes into much more detail. But I'm telling you this as a high level because if you are aware that that is happening, so now you're starting at a different point. Now you actually have a hope of addressing it because you know it's there. And it's there for everybody. I'm not exempt from it. You know, you can speak for years and years and years and be a professional speaker and still not be exempt from it just because you are a human being. You can't be exempt from it as long as you step outside your comfort zone. You see, I've actually had people say to me, oh, you know, I haven't heard my inner critic in a while. And my answer to that is, well, wonderful for you, great for you. When was the last time you did something outside your comfort zone?
Good question, yeah.
Right. So that's part two of the book. And to wrap up the answer to your question, this is a long-winded answer. The third part of the book addresses the process of mastery of public speaking. So when you look at this process, it highlights the fact that, hey, there is a process. Because what I noticed again and again was I kept questioning. I'd see student A and student B. Student A would come and do all of the classes and practice and improve in leaps and bounds. And then student B would come to one class and never come again. So my question was, what's the difference between student A and student B? And why does one keep going in the process and one stops? I mean, you may have seen it yourself in Toastmasters. It's a common thing that I've seen also,
sure.
And you've probably seen. People come and they join and they might give four speeches, maybe five speeches, and then you never see them again, right? And, you know, they have different reasons. My point is somewhere in the process, they stop. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're happy to stay at that level of skill. But if you want to improve and you want to master public speaking and so you're completely uncomfortable in front of the room, as well as being able to deliver your message effectively, there you have to follow a process. And by the way, what is the process? right? Because you hear about it, the process, oh, just practice, practice, practice. But that's, and that's good advice, but it's too general. What steps are there? What are the steps that I need to go through and actually do? What is the process? And so in the book, the third part of the book, I address that. What is the process? And in fact, I could just give you a high level right now. It's not a linear process. What I've discovered is it looks more like an infinity symbol. Mm-hmm. So in other words, no matter what level you're at right now, there is always another level of refinement. It never, ever ends. And the journey is what's important.
Interesting. So I'm about a third of the way through your book right now. So it looks like I've got a lot to look forward to. And I know, Mary, from what I've read so far in your book, it's not one of those books that's going to say, okay, here are just the simple nuggets of do this, do that, and do this, and boom, your speaking's going to be at another level. But on the other hand, I know you do have some specific tips in there. So could you share with us a tip or two that, for example, Bo and I are going to a Toastmasters meeting tonight that maybe we could employ when we're in mm-hmm. front of the room to help deal with the inner critic?
Mm-hmm. Right. So what I would recommend is read the rest of the book. And actually, I mean, I say that facetiously, but I also mean it half serious. I mean, part of the reason you asked me earlier why I wrote the book, one other reason was because people would constantly, one of the most common questions I would ask is, well, how did you get from being self-conscious to being comfortable? What else did you do? And frankly, I just got sick of repeating myself, right? So part of it is, it's all laid out in the book, but if I was to give you some high-level tips, I would say notice. Okay, so get still and notice. Notice what? Notice what your inner critic is saying in the moments that it's saying it while you are in front of the room. It sounds simple, right? But it's not easy and it takes practice. Mm. And I mean, the good news is you don't have to wait till you're in front of the room to practice that. You can practice that anytime because guess what? That little voice that's in your head, it's not just there when you're speaking in front of a group of people, even though it's extra loud when you're speaking in front of a group of people, it's always with you. So just pay attention. My advice is to pay attention to what your little voice is saying. And then once you notice what's it's saying, to refocus, you can actually divert your attention and focus on something different, which is focus on what you're there to provide for the audience. And so for that, I recommend having a strong intention. So before you go on stage, what is your intention? And for everybody, it's different. What is the intention that speaks to you? And it might be for that speech on its own, but you can also have a general intention. And then you focus on that intention while you're up there. That will divert your attention away from the little voice of the inner critic. So, for example, my intention. I have a intention that I use whether I'm presenting, whether I'm teaching a class. And so the intention that I put is a short intention to empower individuals both professionally and personally, period. So that is the intention I literally used to read to myself out loud before the class gets in, and I would repeat it. And every time I feel my attention sway and move towards listening to my own little voice, I would go back to that intention. So it's basically to divert your attention away from what's disempowering to what is empowering. And breathe. That's also very, very important. And I'm not just saying that because it sounds obvious, but it actually is there are physical benefits to you breathing. There's a part of the book that I talk about mindfulness. Now, have you heard of this concept, mindfulness?
Sure.
Certainly.
Yeah.
So I dive a little bit into it and I go into a little of the research. And here's what's interesting that I discovered. So last year, 2016, I went to the inaugural Mindfulness for Business conference. And there I listened to a Dr. Jha, her name is, University of Miami, who's one of the well-respected scientists in the study of mindfulness. And I was surprised to hear that the studying of mindfulness is actually still in its infancy stage compared to many of the other studies. So they're still collecting a lot of data. But what they've found so far, which intrigued me, was your brain, the way the brain works is it's organized into three networks, right? So these networks, so what they are is there's a central executive network, which gets activated when you're focusing on something. There's a salient network, which is activated when you're noticing something. And then the third network is the default mode, which is what we call the monkey mind, when you just listen to the thoughts. The thoughts are just almost like default. They're running without you even thinking about it. You know, you lead one thought leads to another, leads to another, leads to another without effort. And so the point of this, and what I found most intriguing, was these three networks are actually mutually exclusive. So it's either you're working with one network or another. So that's why I'm saying, with the focus and the noticing where your attention is, that's already activating the salient network. And then focusing on your breath, which is the anchor, the physical anchor. You can all literally just take a deep breath and go, in your mind, you might even say, I'm aware that I'm breathing right now. I'm aware that I'm exhaling right now. And immediately that takes you away from the focus of the little voice.
Okay, Mary, that sounds great. Thanks for all that information. Can you leave our audience with information about your book? How do they get your book?
Sure. If you go to Amazon.com and you search my name, Mary Sheen, C-H-E-Y-N-E, you'll see it. You can also search for the title of the book, which is Present Yourself in Public Speaking, Tell Your Inner Critic to Shut Up and the Real You to Speak Up.
All right. Well, thanks, Mary. It's been great talking to you again.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Take care.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.